Hello, Cinnabar Moss. Any kind of moth you'd like to be? Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moss podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we're here with Nathaniel Kozer, author of Latency. Latency is our March release. Nathaniel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the call.
It's a pleasure having you. I'm really excited to talk with you today about the release of Latency. And I want to ask you, are you feeling excited about the release?
Yes, and in ways I didn't really expect going in. And I just tweeted about it, but I've been checking the Amazon listing a lot, and whenever I see the rankings, the sales rankings suddenly jump, I get excited because I know, like, oh, there's another pre-order. I got another one. Yeah. So that's been an unforeseen area of excitement that I've been really enjoying.
So you're excited about the release of the book, but also seeing, that there is actually excitement for potential readers who are looking to get into the book even before its release is also building up some of that excitement for you.
Yeah, and especially if it's, like, obviously friends and family have ordered copies, and so, like, those I expected, but then every so often there'll be one like, oh, I wonder, three days after I talk to anybody about it, someone will order, and I was like, oh, I wonder who that was, so yeah, it's exciting to think about.
Yeah, I can imagine, wondering like who might be connecting with the concept of this book and be excited about it. Must be an enjoyable thing to think about.
Exactly, yes.
And so with the upcoming release of Latency, are you looking forward to doing anything with it? Do you have anything special planned to kind of celebrate the release?
Yes, but I guess to understand it fully, there's a little bit of a background that would be needed. So there, if I had to choose a main character in the book, it would be Sarah, because there's six protagonists, but it's her revenge plot that unites all the characters. It's the inciting incident, so to say. And so she's called Sarah throughout the book, Sera, but that's really a nickname. Her full name is Serafina. And then near where I work in downtown Manhattan, there is a restaurant called Serafina. So I'm hoping to do a little book release party with close friends, with my family, at Serafina to celebrate Serafina's story coming out.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting, and I didn't know that. So, was the name Serafina taken from that restaurant, or was it just kind of a happy coincidence?
It was a happy coincidence. When I wrote Latency, and I think we're going to get into that in the next couple of questions, was a while ago before I worked in downtown Manhattan, so I had no idea that Serafina, the restaurant, existed.
Okay, that's actually a really neat coincidence then.
Yeah.
And so, writing a book is a major accomplishment. Is Latency the first book that you've ever written?
It is the first book I ever wrote. Before that, I only wrote a couple of articles for work, like newsletter articles and some little, sci-fi things. But that being said, it has been so long since I first wrote Latency that in between the time that I got connected with Cinnabar Moth and then was a years long gap where I wrote other novels. So I kind of honed my skills a bit. And so the version that's coming out now is very different from the first book, Latency.
That makes a lot of sense, as we tend to write stories and then we might put them down for a while and then come back to them. And it's like, I could make this better.
Right. Well, and to their credit, Kistifer, the advice that they gave me when we first connected and when the contract was first signed and anything, it turned an okay story into an amazing story. And so I have a profound amount of respect and appreciation for that.
That's wonderful to hear that you're able to find support with Cinnabar Moth, particularly with Kistifer's feedback to help you with forming a story that you can be, happy to publish. And so I want to ask you a little bit more about Latency. You mentioned that, you wrote this quite a long time ago. How long did you actually start writing it?
The proverbial first pen to paper moment was around New Year's of 2016. So I don't remember if it was very end of 2015 or very beginning of 2016, but it was right around there. So it's been 8 years since I started.
Oh, wow. That's quite a while. And how long did it take before you finished that first version of Latency?
I worked on it on and off for until starting in January and finished in August around just about.
Okay, so that's, what is that, about 5 or 6 months or so?
Yeah, and I can usually draft quicker than that now, but it was about 5 or 6 months.
And so you got that first version, and then did you put it down for a little while? Did you work on it some more and then eventually put it down? What was your process?
So it started as all of it's now a 4-part series, the Energy Crisis series. And when I first started writing it, I only had I thought it was going to be one book. I thought it was going to be the Energy Crisis was the book. I got to about the 100,000 word mark and realized I had, you know, essentially an entire novel's worth of work to go. So I've tried to find a good stopping point, a good place to stop and say like, okay, this is the first book and then I'll do the second one. And so finding that point was what took a while, and then writing the 2 or 3 chapters at the end to kind of sum up to make Latency into its own book. That's what really took the longest amount of time, what I really had to like put it down and think about it before I picked it back up and finished it.
Okay, so you had the experience of that, you had this story in mind that you're just writing out, and then you eventually looked at it like, this is a little bit more than one book.
Right.
And then from there you had to do the trimming and everything. What was that writing process like for you of, you know, starting with an idea, realizing there's more than one book, and having to figure it out from there?
It was challenging, but I didn't really mind the challenge. I started writing the end of 2015. I had a lot of things that were causing me like anxiety, anger, like a lot of stuff going on in my personal life. And you know, having all that anger and anxiety, all that extra energy built up with no outlet, and having like all these story ideas bouncing around in my head, I figured like, okay, I have all this energy, I'm not sleeping because I'm anxious, might as well, you know, channel it into a book. And that's what eventually turned into Latency.
So the writing process for you was sort of a way to release some of the negative emotions that you were feeling, some of that energy that you had, into something productive and positive rather than letting it simmer?
Exactly. It was like my alternative to therapy, I guess.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, writing is a great way to release a lot of our ideas and thoughts. And I know, having read Latency, that I don't necessarily see any of that emotion behind it in terms of like you as an author, but I do think that the story itself has a lot of emotions in it that are very vibrant and bring the characters to life.
It was definitely there was more emotion in it in the first draft. My beta readers helped me kind of dial it back quite a bit.
Okay. I guess that would be kind of part of the process with that. And then from there, you know, you mentioned earlier that there's several protagonists in the story, right? And there's, you know, Serafina is the main character of those protagonists, but this is a small cast of leading characters. Can you, and from what I can tell, it revolves around, you know, their journey together, the power that they embrace together, and their journey to overcome what is essentially an oppressive government. What inspired this story for you?
There was a couple places, a couple sources of inspiration. Ever since I was a kid, you know, like, you know, elementary school age, I loved sci-fi, and I especially loved stories where there is a group of heroes. So, you know, your X-Men stories, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Dragon Ball Z, those kind of storylines. And in a lot of them, especially X-Men, oppressive and fearful governments, you know, they're ubiquitous. That, you know, it's not a hard leap to make to put superpowered people with oppressive governments. But to get back to it, and I was so obsessed with those characters and that concept that I used to get in trouble in elementary school because my teachers thought I was daydreaming or, you know, just not paying attention. And in reality, I was just like in my head thinking about my own little characters that, you know, were in the vein of X-Men or Ninja Turtles, and just thinking of like stories for them. And I guess those little characters that elementary school Nate was thinking about eventually turned into the protagonists and antagonists in Latency. And then there was a couple other inspirations, like when The Matrix came out, I was fascinated with a lot of ideas in that, especially the idea of the machines in The Matrix using like the human body, using human body heat and neural impulses as a fuel source. And I always thought it would be a cool idea, and always thought of it in the concept of why didn't somebody write a book or a movie where humans use that energy source, you know, instead of robots doing it, you know, enslaving us and using the energy. And when I realized that those two ideas could kind of be combined, was when I really started thinking about, hey, maybe I should write this story, and Latency came of it.
I think that's an awesome inspiration to go from, you know, your childhood influences into your experience with the different media and all that coming together in a really beautiful way. I with Latency, I do think you captured very well this feeling of, you know, the ragtag group of special people using their strengths and using their companionship to overcome the obstacles that they face and the challenges that they face. And their journey together really drew me in as a reader. Did you find that difficult to capture that companionship, or was it pretty easy for you because you had all this inspiration to draw from?
It was a little difficult, but not in a direct way. The companionship really came from a desire to avoid things that annoyed me about other stories, for lack of a better term. There's a couple, and I'm not going to name names, but there's a couple of stories I read where, like, there's, you know, very dramatic, you know, interpersonal drama, like, you know, if it happened in real life, you know, that would rip apart the friendship. That would be the end. But in certain books, you know, those dramatic moments happened, and then later on in the book, they're, you know, back together like nothing happened. So I didn't want to, you know, go that way. I especially didn't want to go the way of the drama coming from like a simple miscommunication or like somebody holding back an important piece of information that, you know, could have changed everything. And on the flip side of that, I didn't want characters who never disagreed, who, you know, just everything was buddy buddy the whole time. So I wanted to have characters that had differing opinions, but who were also, you know, showed empathy, you know, understood where their fellows were coming from, and would, you know, work through the differences that were in a believable way. And that endeavor, I guess, led to this sense of support and camaraderie that I think you picked up on.
Yeah, I definitely believe so, because when I was reading through the book, I found that the characters felt very real in their interactions with each other in a way that, like you mentioned, some books feel a little bit off sometimes, even without naming certain names. There's just this sense of like, would these characters really follow up with doing this? Or if they really cared about each other, or if they're intelligent and, you know, adults communicating, would this really be something that would happen?
Right.
Whereas with the interactions in Latency, I did feel very much that they were, while their personalities were different and their specialties and their strengths were different, there was always a sense of they understood they had a common goal that they were working towards together.
Right.
And I personally found that very inspiring as for my own writing, and made me look at my own writing and see if I could make some improvements in terms of my characterization
Oh,
to better build those bonds.
that might be the nicest thing I've ever heard someone say. Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm touched to think that I influenced you as a writer. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you. I think that you're fantastic as well. And so I want to follow up a little bit more about latency. And to me, every story has its own message. And with latency, the message seemed to be about recognizing, you know, the strength of people's ability to inspire and support each other, and the value of finding those who share our values and experiences, and then the ability to then overcome obstacles together. Was this the message you intended for the story, or was there something else in mind as you were writing it?
I guess, but you thought about it much more deeply than I did. The message, if I had one, was much more simple, standard. The violence begets violence, oppression, doesn't and won't ever keep peace, that sort of thing. What I did want, for my, as in terms of my desires for creating latency, I wanted characters who certainly had empathy for one another, and that goes to the question we just talked about. But I really wanted, like, my wants and desires were much more superficial. It was I wanted a story of a small group of badasses who were so powerful that an entire army couldn't take them on. But at the same time, I wanted, whatever you, I didn't want just five characters or six characters being dropped into a war zone and kicking ass. Like, whatever unified them, I wanted that to be somewhat grounded, somewhat believable. And so the empathy, the support, the shared experiences, the shared desires, that's, I think, what provided that mechanism for something believable that would bring them together.
Yeah, I certainly found it believable, and they were definitely very badass characters, like you mentioned. I think all
Thank
of them
you.
had wonderful moments to shine in the story where you kind of gave them the spotlight to do their thing. And then, you know, there are times that they're working together to overcome things that they couldn't have, you know, no spoilers, but there are times they had to come together to overcome certain challenges and obstacles that they wouldn't have been able to do on their own, even if they wanted
Right.
to, despite how strong they were. Because, you know, you're facing a government, an army. Sometimes it's a little bit hard for one person, no matter how badass you are. And so, with the experience of going through writing latency and then, you know, putting it down for a while, coming back to it, and the experience of publishing and everything, I want to ask you, what's your greatest takeaway from latency for you as a writer?
I don't know if it's a takeaway, but the biggest learning experience actually came from querying latency, not writing it so much. I queried it hard with because when I got into, or when I first started querying, I did not know about indie publishers. Like, I was brand new to the world. Like, this was not some dream that I had since I was a kid. I knew nothing about the world. I thought, you go get an agent, you go for one of the big five publishers, and that was that. So I queried agents hard for about 18 months, with some success, like, some requests for partials and whatnot. But ultimately it never went anywhere. And I had kind of given up on not given up per se. That's too strong. I put latency on the back burner to focus on other projects, but I still, kept my nose to the pavement and kept, following lots of people on Twitter, being less active posting on Twitter, but still following people and reading tweets. And it worked out because about a year later, a little indie publisher with a well-known, very a fantastic reputation, randomly tweeted one day that they had a 2024 opening and asked for a submission. And that was you guys, that was Cinnabar Moth. So had I, completely thrown in the towel and deactivated my Twitter or, stopped going onto Twitter, I would have missed my opportunity. So it was just a lesson learned that, the grind will pay off if you keep at it, and just opportunity can come from anywhere. So look for it and seize it when it comes. Because if I had not done that, we wouldn't be talking here today.
I think that's a wonderful message, making sure that you keep you're aware of your options, you keep an eye out for them. And I'm personally really happy that I am talking with you today and I had the opportunity to read Latency because it's a wonderful story.
Thank you so much.
And so with Latency, it's coming up this upcoming Tuesday. Are your friends and family excited about the release?
I think they're more excited than I am, frankly. and it really surprised me. Don't get me wrong. When this opportunity with you guys popped up, I was very surprised. I'm incredibly grateful. But since I was in that querying grind for as long as I was, I guess it came as less of a shock to me, because I saw the whole process of, my query letters getting better, my drafts getting better, and eventually finding the right company. Whereas my family, they knew that I was querying and then didn't hear anything about it for 2 years and change. And then all of a sudden I said, oh yeah, I got offered a contract. I'm going to get a 4-book series. And yeah. Now everybody's like, oh my God, it's so exciting.
I think that's awesome that you have all this excitement. I can only imagine how it must feel to, have the support and then also to have, all this contract for those 4 books relate with the latency. And with that, how does it feel to know that your book will also be listed in the U.S. Library of Congress?
I really didn't understand how big a deal that was until relatively recently. Now I understand, that the latency is literally going down in history because of it, and that's a huge deal. But since I didn't dream of it wasn't a lifelong dream to become a writer. 8 years ago, I thought I had a good idea for a book and wrote it down, and that was really the start of everything. So I think that being listed in U.S. Library of Congress is something that other people, it's a much bigger deal for other people than it was for me, but I do recognize that it's quite an accomplishment.
It makes a lot of sense to me, with not knowing a lot about it going into it. It's just kind of like, oh cool, another thing on top of all the excitement and the rush of it all, right? And so, the book's coming out this upcoming Tuesday. It's the journey for the first book, essentially, for its publication process is kind of coming to its end now. What do you hope happens next?
Certainly I hope that everything goes smoothly with the sequels. And I assume we'll talk about that a little more later. But besides that, it's hard for me to say because it's tough for me to think about that I've even gotten this far. With every step of the way, I wrote the book, getting it beta read, querying. I always hoped for the best, but tried to keep my expectations reasonable. Like, how, you know, how many people finish a book? Okay, well, I finished the book. How many people, you know, get through the beta reading phase and, like, actually people liked it? Okay, they liked it. Well, how many people query and actually get an offer? Okay, well, I got that. But, you know, how many people actually, you know, sell well enough to make a living, or like, so, you know, I'm trying to keep my expectations reasonable, but I am hoping that hope will win out again. You know what I mean?
That makes a lot of sense. You're trying to combat, you know, the mix of excitement and the positive side of things, like, okay, let's keep me grounded. Let's not get too worked up here.
Yes.
But speaking of hope, are you hoping to make writing your career?
It would be nice. I'm pretty fortunate that my day job, I work for city government, and I do like it. Like, I like my coworkers. I like the work that I do. So if that was the rest of my life, I'd be okay with that too. But especially last week, I took the week off from work to watch my kids, and when they were napping or in school or whatnot, I was writing. And that was pretty nice. Like, I could definitely get used to that kind of life. I definitely have a couple of ideas. Like, obviously, it is Energy Crisis is a 4-book series, so I have that to work on for the next 2 years. That'll be my project until the last one is out. But I did also write a children's book a couple of years ago, inspired by my wife's pet rabbit, which she adopted the rabbit when she was still living in Japan, as a pet. And then when she moved here, she left the rabbit in Japan with her parents. But a few years later, we flew over there to go get the rabbit, and then flew back from Japan to New York City with the rabbit. So I wrote a children's book about that. And I think it would be cute to have that published one day, and make a little career out of writing children's books in addition to somewhat violent adult science fiction.
Yeah, it does sound like a very cute story just from hearing about it. And it sounds very sweet, you know, writing a story about your wife's pet rabbit and about that. And so with the, you know, looking at the mix of writing that you're thinking of doing, if you could choose, would you choose to primarily work in science fiction and children's book, or do you think you'd want to explore other genres as well?
I could see myself getting into fantasy. I've had a couple of fantasy ideas and little things that I've worked on over the years. So I could see myself exploring that genre as well. Certainly that would be the extent of it. Like, I don't think I'm good enough at character writing for romance, and I don't the you know nonfiction and everything. I don't have any current inspiration, so.
Okay, yeah. I'd be excited to read anything that you write, because I'm a huge fan of the Energy Crisis series already. And getting back to latency, I want to ask you, do you think you would make a better TV series or movie, assuming that, you know, you had the choice?
Is the choice just between those two?
Do you have another medium that you have in mind? Maybe comic book?
Oh, I didn't even think of comic book. That's interesting too. No, I was thinking video game.
Oh.
Just because, you know, it's you know the multiple POVs, the multiple characters with unique superpowers, the battles that, you know, progress in scale. I always thought of it as being an interesting concept for a video game. But if I had to choose between TV or movie, I would go for movie, just because there's a lot of epic fight scenes that I think would be better on the big screen.
Okay, I hadn't considered the video game idea at all, but now you mention it, I do think that would be a very interesting experience to, you know, experience these really badass character moments, as well as the characterization, everything. Following up on that, if you with video games, we naturally we have voice acting, right? Do you have any voice actors in mind that you think would be really good for a specific character?
I don't know enough about voice actors to answer that question. I had thought about casting for movies, funny enough, but not for video games. If you wanted to hear that.
Yeah. Who do you think would make for great casting for a movie?
So the one I thought about the most was Lupita Nyong'o for Sarah. I from the moment that I thought of Sarah, I thought that Lupita was her. Lupita is the inspiration for Sarah's whole persona. And it even more so after Black Panther came out, like her characterization of Nakia. I was like, yep, I made the right choice. And then the only other character I thought about significantly besides her was an antagonist named Captain Byron, who was supposed to be this massive, 7 foot tall, very intimidating, very scary presence. And there's a wrestler in the WWE called the Great Khali, who's like 7'1", 370 pounds, something like that. That I thought would make a great Captain Byron.
Oh, that does. I saw him being 7'1" is already intimidating just to think about.
Yeah.
That does sound like it'd be a pretty good fit for, the towering character that you're imagining. And I do think that Lupita Nyong'o is a very talented actress.
Yes.
And so following up on the idea of, latencies coming out as a movie, what level of control would you want over that movie creation process?
I don't know much about making movies. If I had to take on a bigger role, I guess I would, but I assume a consulting role would be, the extent. There are certain things that I would probably ask to be required contractually. The one that comes to mind immediately is the story is supposed to take place in 25th, 26th century. And the idea I had was by that point in Earth's history, the races that we know today really wouldn't exist. We would have intermixed so much that it would be pretty rare for someone to be identifiable by the racial classifications of today. Sarah is really the only one. She's a Black woman, but every other character is what you and I would consider mixed race by today's standards. So I definitely would want to see that reflected in the casting choices. Besides that, there's nothing I would really there's nothing else that I feel as strongly about controlling, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense. And thinking about it, when I was reading through latency, there wasn't really a lot of mention, really, of race at all, which I, looking back on it, I really do enjoy the kind of low-key representation that involves. And I'm mixed race, and so... Mm-hmm. Seeing the cover and seeing the my skin tone reflected in the characters and seeing that it's not something that's significant to the story, it's just who they are, was very pleasant for me as a reader as well.
I'm very glad to hear that.
I'm glad that that's something that you would try to maintain, because I think that would make for a very enjoyable viewing experience as well in the movie. And so... let's imagine now that, it's gone through the process, they picked it up for that movie, they've done all the screenwriting and everything, and it's coming out. Would you want to go to the premiere? And if you did, who would you take with you?
So I'm a little bit of an introvert, so going to a premiere does sound fun, but it sounds like something that would be fun to do once. And so if there's a premiere for all four of the books, maybe I'll skip the second, third, and fourth. But the first one I would go to. And Obviously, my wife would be the first choice. She's actually, there's a character in the book who is named in homage to my wife. So I think it would be cool for her to see the character that is named after her. And if my wife couldn't go for whatever reason or didn't want to, because she's a little bit of an introvert too, I would love to bring my mom. She was my very first beta reader. She is my biggest fan. She's been my biggest supporter these 8 years. So I think she deserves it.
It sounds really lovely. And I didn't know one of the characters named after your wife, but I think that's very sweet and would probably be exciting to see on the big screen that character portrayed.
For anybody who's listening to this, look out for the character named May, M-A-Y. That is the character named after my wife.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to say anything more because, you know, I don't want to have any spoilers about the character.
Yeah. But
now that I know, I can think back on it and give it another read. Looking out for that. Mm-hmm. And so, following up on this, you mentioned that you're kind of an introverted and that your wife is as well. So imagining that, you know, let's say the Edge Crisis books became really popular and you gained a lot of fame with that, would you like to be as famous and well known as Stephen King, or where you lost your anonymity, or do you look for something a little bit more low-key?
Maybe not Stephen King famous. Stephen King, I feel like you could have never read a Stephen King novel and you still know what he looks like. So I don't know that I would want to be that famous, but also, like, I don't necessarily want to be completely unknown either. Maybe closer to like a Suzanne Collins, I guess, because she wrote a great series, wrote a very popular series. She made a lot of money, got her bag. But nowadays she's not a heavy presence on social media or anything like that. So really it would only be fans of her work who would recognize her, you know, as she's going about her day. So, I think that would be more the level of fame that I would try to go for if I had any say in the matter.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you have mentioned that you're introverted, and I do think that maintaining your privacy a bit is always nice to have, right?
Right.
And so, Nathaniel, I'd like to thank you for talking with all of us today and being on the Writers Triangle. It's been a real pleasure having you.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for so much for the interview. This was awesome.
And to all of our beautiful moths, thank you for listening. And be sure to buy Latency coming out this upcoming Tuesday, March 5th. Now, real quick, Nathaniel, can you tell us where we can find you as far as social media goes?
So I'm on Instagram, Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, and Blue Sky. My handle is the same at all of them. It's NateJKLOL.
Okay, wonderful. And for everybody listening, be sure to visit cinnabarmoth.com where you can check out the transcripts, and we'll also have a link to Nathaniel's social media. For now, though, Nathaniel, it's been a real pleasure talking with you and having you on. And I hope that everybody listening has enjoyed the interview as well. For now, bye-bye.
Thank you for everybody for listening, and thank you for the interview.